Hello, Hugh Grant fans, and welcome to Hugh's News, a Taking Hugh for Granted bonus podcast. Hugh's News aims to keep you right up to date with everything Hugh Grant, from an announcement he signed on to a new project, right down to him doing a particularly saucy tweet. If it's big Hugh Grant news, we want you to know about it. The big news today is Hugh Grant will return to our screens for a third time as Daniel Cleaver this coming Valentine's Day. I'm Digger Waite, and to discuss this with me, I'm joined by my fellow Horse and Hound correspondent, Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the bloody hell are you doing today, mate?
Diggs, I'm speechless this morning. I can't believe it. I mean, this is one role we just didn't see coming for Hugh Grant. We didn't think he would be reprising Daniel Cleaver again, but here we are.
I mean, all I can say is, to people who listened to our last episode, we reviewed Hugh Grant's new TV show, The Regime, on HBO. We reviewed that, and we said at the end of the episode, we were like, oh, so what's coming up for Hugh then? I mean, some Pop-Tarts or whatever, but, you know, pretty quiet right now. There's sort of two things on the horizon. Bloody hell, our prayers were answered sevenfold. This is unbelievable news, because I mean, let's just put it out there straight away. Fans of the Bridget Jones saga, if you are fans of this saga, we've reviewed the first film, the second film, and the third film under the guise of Colin Firth Things First. But you'll know, eagle-eyed viewers of Bridget Jones's Baby will know that Hugh Grant's dead. So what the hell's going on there?
I have no idea. Well, the interesting thing is, Diggs, I had to go and do some digging on this. I mean, and if you read the Wikipedia entry for Bridget Jones's Baby, it says Bridget Jones goes to the funeral of Daniel Cleaver, presumed dead, in a fatal air crash. So yes. I don't know what happened. Maybe he walked away from the wreckage he was wandering the mountains somewhere and made his way back to Thailand before getting a flight back to England. But he was only presumed dead. So he has literally come back from the dead. Maybe he's going to be like in a care home or something.
Oh my God, that'd be so dark. I would love that though. That would be a very Hugh Nascence thing to do. That would be much his career at the moment, just playing complete oddballs.
I feel like it would be a sort of reprise of one of his roles in Cloud Atlas, when he's sort of walking around like a sort of old geezer in a sort of, you know, hospital gown or something.
yeah, rather than a dressing gown. It's more of a hospital gown, but he'll still be trying to flirt and get with absolutely everyone there. It's all very exciting. But we do have some idea of what the film's going to be about, because it is based on a book written by Helen Fielding from 2013 called Mad About the Boy. And apparently the film is going to be called Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy. This begs another question. Who is going to be in it? Because obviously we know that Hugh Grant's going to be in it. We know that Renee Zellweger, now an Oscar winner, will be in it. She won her Oscar for the Judy Garland film. And we also have a couple other people. We've got Chiwetel Ejiofor as one of the people being cast in it.
Best known, of course, for his role in Love Actually.
Oh, yes. He's the boyfriend, the cuck, right? Isn't it? He's with Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
And then his best mate's trying to pretend to be a carol singer and taking loads of pictures of his girlfriend. But we also have Leo Woodall. Now, people will recognize him from White Lotus and One Day. Did you watch One Day on Netflix recently, the TV show?
I haven't, but I've heard lots about it, about how it's about... It shows a relationship over many, many years, and then it has a very sad ending.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. There's no need for anyone to watch it. That is, honestly, genuinely, that is the perfect synopsis. But he's sort of hot shit right now, and people aren't really talking about who Chiwetel could be. People are talking about who could Leo Woodall be, because in the book, there is this hotshot, sexy 30-year-old whom Bridget starts sleeping with, and people are thinking it's going to be him. So maybe Daniel Cleaver and this guy, Hugh Grant and Leo Woodall, are going to butt heads.
Well, I think also, Diggs, we should talk about a big absentee from this movie, who, of course...
A big absentee? I can't think about who that could be. What do you mean a big absentee? Everyone on this list, I can't think of anyone who's missing.
Well, those of you who stuck around with the podcast long enough will know that we are the better known as the Colin Firth Haters podcast.
Yes, exactly.
And sadly, or not so sadly, Colin Firth will not be coming back for the fourth installment of Bridget Jones. And Diggs, did you read about why he will not be coming back, or why his character will not be coming back?
Well, I mean, because I obviously went to look at this straight away as well, despite my little outburst just then. I, of course, was like, well, what's happened to Colin Firth? Because what the dream is that they will battle once again. They'll do battle. We were deprived of that in Bridget Jones' Baby because, interestingly, listeners will know this if they listen to a long time, but if you don't know this, Hugh Grant didn't do Bridget Jones's Baby because he didn't believe in the script. I think they sent loads of revisions and they did this, and then eventually Hugh was like, listen guys, this isn't good enough, I'm out. But he's returned for this one, so clearly he thinks the script is good here. But Colin Firth hasn't, and I don't know whether that's to do with the book, because have people got this from the book that essentially Colin Firth's character Mark Darcy has apparently been killed by a landmine in Sudan?
Just
there's
that
a lot
sentence.
Of death in Bridget Jones.
I know that just that sentence alone makes me laugh, because of course he's the human rights lawyer, and apparently he's negotiating a deal for one of his clients, and then by mistake steps on a landmine and dies, which seems like a very Mark Darcy thing to do.
Wow.
But you know, of course, also there has to be a reason why Mark Darcy is not in it, because in the previous editions, of course, there is a happy ending where Bridget is with Mark Darcy.
And so, and has his baby, right?
And has a has his buddy baby. So
yeah,
we have to have a reason why Mark Darcy isn't at Bridget's side. And you know, I mean, we don't know the whole plot, but we can get a lot from the synopsis of Helen Fielding's book Mad About a Boy, and we know that basically she's a widow and mourning Mark Darcy's death, and then kind of spirals back into classic Bridget Jones style.
Yeah,
you know, going after different men, and of course it sounds like it might be this Leo Woodall chap.
Well, I mean, this all sounds bloody brilliant to me. I like the idea. I mean, but okay, quick hat off for a second. I'm gonna miss Colin Firth. It's a real shame, because you know, I didn't really. Bridget Jones's Baby is the weakest of the films, obviously. And to be honest, I wasn't a big fan of Patrick Dempsey and his character or anything like that. It wasn't quite there. But that's why you can only be, you know, your hero can only be as good as the villain is bad. And Hugh Grant's bloody bad. And Colin Firth is bloody good. So it is a real shame that he's not going to be in this. But in some ways, I suppose, maybe they had to sort of bastardize the story for the third one to make it work once Hugh Grant was eventually just not going to be involved. With this one, there might be stronger footing based on what the book has given them. So hopefully there's good grounds for a good story here, and we're going to have some good fun.
That's the interesting thing, Diggs, that... You know, I feel like Bridget Jones's Baby was effectively a made-up screenplay. It was written by Emma Thompson. And so that film came out in 2016. But Helen Fielding actually wrote this book, Mad About a Boy, the third story in her trilogy, 20 years after Bridget Jones's Diary. So it's almost like we're seeing that with the film, where like it's like a bit of an afterthought, but we're revisiting... Renee in her 50s, or Bridget Jones in her 50s. But I mean, I have no doubt, I don't know about you, I have no doubt that this will be a hit. It might not it's not good. It's not going to be quite as good as the first two, I don't think. But I mean, this, like, you part of me was thinking, why are they doing this again? Like, what is the reason for this? And then it just sort of, the penny sort of dropped for a second, and I was like, this is because Bridget Jones is arguably the most successful rom-com series of the last like 25 years. Like, name me a series that captures the imagination of people in a rom-com setting more than Bridget Jones. Wow. It's grossed $760 million worldwide.
Yeah. And Bridget Jones's Baby accounts for like 200 million of that. So don't think, oh, it's just the first two doing the business. It's like, that is basically a third of that is what Bridget Jones's Baby's doing. You're absolutely right. Me and you aren't, I mean, despite doing Hugh Grant podcast, I would say that we're not across the rom-com space that much. I would say our rom-com space was like the early 2000s, late 90s. We might have dropped the ball a bit. The only rom-com that I can think of has done really well worldwide and has like serialized and sequelized is The Kissing Booth. Have you ever seen that?
No.
The fact that you haven't heard of that tells you all you need to know. Is that is the only one I can think of, and it doesn't even touch the sides. Bridget Jones is an institution. Bridget Jones is a franchise. Bridget Jones is back, baby. And I am so fucking here for it. I cannot tell you. This is the most amazing present we could ever have been given.
Oh, well, and you know what you're doing for Valentine's next year. Sorry.
Yes. Yes. Valentine's Day. Although, have you read this? Apparently, it's not going to come out in cinemas in the US. It's going to come out in cinemas everywhere else, but in the US, it's going to debut on Peacock, the streaming service.
Interesting.
I don't know why in hell they're doing that, because like we say, the track record shows that this shit makes money. People could go to see this film, so I don't know what they're doing there, but...
Obviously, Peacock or NBC have bought in to Bridget Jones because they know, you know, they want it exclusive on their streaming platform. That's as much of an endorsement as anyone needs.
Back on the story, I guess, for a second. We know that Mark Darcy is leaving behind two children. He's leaving behind Bridget Jones. Bridget Jones is now, like you say, she's going to fall into maybe getting back on the scene, you know, as a new widow. What about Daniel Cleaver? Now that he's been found, what do we think is going to happen with his character? What can we expect? Because we guessed pretty accurately in the regime what fate was going to meet Hugh Grant's character. Can we do the same here?
I mean, I think, Diggs, I would be surprised if Hugh is anything more than a minor role.
Whoa, that's a big call.
I don't think he's going to be in it much.
Wow. Okay. Shit. I think that's really a fuck. That's a.
Do you,
really...
do you not think so? You think he's going to be like front and center? I feel like I just having seen him recently, I just can't imagine that he's going to be more than like a 10-minute scene where he sort of comes back from the dead and somehow sort of surprises everyone. But I could be wrong. I could be totally getting that wrong.
Wow. Because I'm not going to lie, up until this point, I've just thought, well, he's going to be, as is the Bridget Jones way, he will be one of two love interests and he will, in some way or shape, battle it out with the new young hotshot. But now that you've said that, that is totally in keeping with his recent trend of just being in stuff for a bit and being a bit of a cameo. And this would be an amazing cameo. It would get bums on seats, but he wouldn't have to do that much.
It will be actually very interesting to see if he takes more of a leading man role, because we actually since the rewrites, which somehow has got itself on Canadian Netflix, by the way, Daisy, I have no idea why. It's absolutely atrocious. But basically, since that point, which is about 10 years ago, we have not seen Hugh in a romantic role, really. Maybe you could say the Undoing, but not. Like the Undoing.
Oh wow, wow, wow! I wouldn't say. Yeah, I wouldn't argue that he plays a husband, but I wouldn't say it's romantic or anything. You're right.
Whereas, can we see Hugh kind of getting back on the rom-com train properly, like a bit of a kind of older relationship?
Yeah.
Like, does Hollywood want that? Does Hollywood want to see Daniel Cleaver, Hugh Grant in his 60s, and Renee Zellweger in their 60s getting together? I mean, I'm all here for it, but I would. It would be interesting to see how this is written, how closely they stick to the book. Mm. We haven't read that, so we don't know.
No.
I'm sure one of our fans can tell us exactly what's going to happen for Hugh Grant's role in this film. So we're only speculating, but will be really interesting to see what kind of role he is given and how much he like signs onto the project. Because part of me is just thinking he's kind of been persuaded, like kicking and screaming, to come and sort of play Daniel Cleaver one last time.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe he's had a complete change of heart. He's got too many lawyers' fees to pay and school fees to pay. He's been.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. You know, famously, he said, I need to stop having bloody children. He's got five. They're going to be expensive the older they get.
Yeah.
So maybe he needs the money. I wonder, you know, because you're right, kicking and screaming. He would have been dragged kicking and screaming to do the third one, which he eventually didn't do. he's famously said, as we say all the time this podcast, he sees doing sequels as putting on a pair of wet swimming trunks. It was a miracle he did the second Bridget Jones. This is the only franchise or series of films that he's returned to. He hasn't ever done a sequel, which, you know, where he's in the first one and the second one. He's never done that. He's only done it with this. There is something special here, I think, and I think he likes the role of Daniel Cleaver. And in fact, I was watching an interview before this with him where he said as much, and he said he really enjoyed playing Daniel Cleaver. He related to Daniel Cleaver, and in fact, he was saying that he wrote this big backstory to help him get into character, where you know Daniel Cleaver's in publishing, but he was a failed writer, and he was like, all of this doesn't come across at all in the performance. but I wonder whether maybe he'll bring some of that into the role in this. But they're yet to film it, so maybe he has some time to dig out those notes.
Maybe
way back when.
Maybe. I mean, I guess the question is, Diggs, is the title of the film is Bridget Jones Mad About a Boy? Of course. We've seen him in About a Boy, but but is Mad, is he the boy? Like, or is someone else the boy?
Leo Woodall.
Okay.
That's going to be Leo Woodall. Because he's going to be, you know, the 30-year-old hotshot will be Leo Woodall. And it will be Daniel Cleaver trying to be the sort of devil taking her away from him. Mm. It's going to be interesting, actually, to see how they tackle, you know, the sort of, the sort of cougar vibes. because I think, genuinely though, I do think it's the kind of thing where it's sort of fetishized on screen. And I wonder whether this might be a thing where it's sort of like, hey guys, young men and older women can get with each other too, and it'd be a viable relationship. Or whether the through line or the end of the story will be, nah, actually, it was never going to work. He was 30, she was 50. She's got two kids. He's a young man. I don't know. Whereas, you know, but the other way around, gender wise, often, particularly back in the day, particularly then, but still now, it's not seen as an issue. So I wonder if they'll tackle that at all. It'd be interesting.
I mean, you're the expert on this subject, Deeks, but I feel like Bridget Jones, the series, is sort of unashamedly hits these kind of issues on the nose. You know, they don't really care what other people are going to think, and they're, you know, Bridget is Bridget. She'll do what she wants, and no one else is going to tell her what to do.
Yeah, we love that. That's why we love our Bridget. We love her so much.
And Diggs, we didn't mention one other special lady who is going to be back in Bridget Jones, and that is Emma Thompson.
Come on.
Hugh and Emma Thompson are meant to be on screen, and you know, we've spoken about how much they enjoy working together, how many films they've been in together. And this is just going to be another one to add to the list.
Absolutely. I mean, she plays a doctor famously in Bridget Jones, the series. And actually, it's funny that you say she wrote the last one, because I thought she was the best thing about Bridget Jones's Baby. Her scenes were so funny. If Hugh Grant did die in a plane crash, Emma Thompson would shoot straight up to my favorite actor of all time. I just think she's amazing. And perhaps playing a doctor in this, she saves Hugh Grant's life. Who knows? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Maybe.
That would be really cool, because they've got to find some sort of way to shoehorn her into the story. Because previously, you know, she's been delivering babies and whatever else. But it's a really exciting prospect. But yeah, they've been in so many films together, and here's another one. Can't wait.
I feel like in another life, Hugh Grant and Emma Thompson got married and had kids and were like a power couple, a British acting
God.
Power couple.
Yes, imagine her in the Liz Hurley dress. not on a creepy way. I'm just thinking, like, you know, maybe it would have been. I don't know why it might have been a different vibe. It would have been a different time. It would have been a different type of power couple. Because I feel like maybe I'm about to do them a disservice, but I don't know. You just been like thinking two acting titans rather than versus what we got, which was just two fucking hot young people like Liz Hurley and Hugh Grant. We would have got, you know, Emma Thompson's. What I'm digging myself a hole here. I think Emma Thompson's beautiful, but I just feel like, you know, it would have been a different vibe seeing her in that dress. I don't know what I'm talking about. People,
keep
but
digging.
What's this spade I've got? Drop the spade, man. Get rid of it. No, I cannot say more how much I love Emma Thompson. But you're right. Maybe they could have been a power couple, but I think they get along really well. And actually, it's interesting you say that about, does Hollywood want Renée Zellweger and Hugh Grant, you know, or just Hugh Grant being a rom-com man again? I think it does. I think people would still pay to see Hugh Grant in a rom-com, And wouldn't it be fun to see? Because have they ever acted opposite each other? Has Emma Thompson ever been the love interest? And has Hugh Grant ever been the love interest for her? You know, I don't think so. They've always played brother and sister, or...
Yeah, they've always been side by side, but not together.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly. Yeah.
I think that's right as well. I can't think of a single film where they've been fucking. So maybe that's something they've got to think about. those old bigwigs at Hollywood.
Maybe Emma Thompson's going to write it in this time, finally.
Oh my God, maybe that's how Daniel Cleaver comes into it. Maybe he's like, oh, meet my new girlfriend.
And then people would die for that, actually.
Oh my God, I'd fucking die for that. Wow, it would be like I'd stepped on a sexy landmine in Sudan.
I mean, I just hope they're not going to invite Ed Sheeran back. Ed Sheeran's acting career is done.
Yeah.
2016 was like, do you remember? It was like Ed Sheeran dancing to Gangnam Style. That was the era. It was very 2016 era.
It was, yeah. Honestly, go back and watch Bridget Jones Baby. It is so 2016. It's hard to even describe. But Ed Sheeran also was in Game of Thrones, and that was I forgot how bad that was. I rewatched that the other day. That was really bad. Listen, Ed Sheeran seems like a lovely bloke, very cool guy. The fuck are you doing, man? Who lets that happen as well? Who lets that in Game of Thrones? That's a serious TV show.
This is what happens when you become too rich and powerful and get bored of your own thing. Yeah. But you know, other people have done it very successfully. Harry Styles being one.
Yeah. Dunkirk, no less.
Yeah.
Yeah, although he did...
He's still a bit of a wanker in that, but...
Well, to be honest, I was like, Dunkirk, I was like, wow, this guy can really act. And unfortunately, the other thing I saw him in, where he played...
Don't Worry, Darling, he's in that as well, is it?
I can't remember which, because there was two, and I watched one of them, but the one that fewer people had seen. I didn't watch the one with Florence Pugh, I watched the other one. Mm. Where he plays a policeman. Anyway, I thought he was bad. And it's very rare that I actually go, that's a bad actor. But I'm afraid, Harry, I really wanted you to succeed, but you were bad. And Dunkirk's good because it's basically a silent film. He can get away with it. But that's he true. Can't in this one.
That's true.
He's a very chatty policeman.
Well, anyway, I didn't expect to finish on that note. But I don't know if there's anything more to be said. I mean, apart from, you know, I'm counting down the fucking days already.
I know. It's a quick turnaround for this film. Apparently, they're going to film it this summer and they're going to release it in February. So it's all going to happen really quite quickly.
This is the great thing about rom-coms, you know. Let's forget the CGI. Forget, you know, the Dune production. Fuck that shit. Get them on location. Get Hugh and Renee together and magic will happen on screen. You just let the cameras roll.
Exactly. Just remember to press record and you're golden. You're sweet. It kind of reminds me of our podcast, dude. Wonderful. I have to say as well, for the friends of ours listening and watching on YouTube, they'll see how much of an emergency podcast this is, that I currently have my pants behind me.
I was going to say.
They're just up there drying. I couldn't put them away in time. I didn't realize.
Well, you just leave things to the imagination, Diggs.
Yeah. Well, my imagination is going to be absolutely popping off right up until Valentine's Day 2025. Stick the date in your diary if it wasn't already, gang. And we're going to see you there then. Until then, follow us on all the socials. We're at Taking Hugh on Twitter, at Taking Hugh for Granted on Instagram and Facebook. Does anyone use Facebook anymore? I'm not sure. Although there's an election coming up, I'm sure it will swing those. And we'll see you next time for whatever's next. I imagine if it's not another Hugh's News, it'll be Unfrosted, a Pop-Tart story. See you then, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
This is the end of Hugh's News. We hope you feel very amused. News about Hugh Grant. Hugh's News. And everything is very Hugh's News. And now it's time to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Hugh's News is a Taking Hugh for Granted production and is produced, edited and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.